No one like you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Do you believe everything you were just singing?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're going to have to fight to maintain that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not just something that happens. Christianity is not a casual thing.
No.
Christianity is not an observer sport.
Amen.
Christianity is a life.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
It's a lot of ignorance in the body of Christ, and one of the major areas of ignorance I really believe in the body of Christ is to know what the enemy's doing and how to deal with him. Mm. You know, we blame the devil for the nightmares we have a lot of times, and for those thoughts or for those memories that come to mind, when it's really God saying, look, I want you to look at this.
Right.
In that memory, he'll talk to you and he'll help you find some peace. But if you blame the devil, then we blame the devil for what we're feeling. The devil doesn't make you feel much, really. There's a few things. He can oppress you. Yeah, he can bring you down. But your mind is what does the rest of it. You know, we blame the devil for a lot of things when he's not even doing it. And then we don't even pay attention when the devil does attack. And it's really not the devil. It's his little imps running around, okay? He's only one entity. He's not omnipresent like I think some Christians think he probably is. He's everywhere all the time. No, he's not. He's one entity, one fallen angel, one defeated angel. He has the ability, yeah, to screw up your life in a big way. He sure does. Right now, around the world, there's a huge battle, and it's been going on forever, but it's really in full force rage right now against Christians. You know, in the Middle East, you know, they're being beheaded and killed every day, executed every day. It's horrible what's going on. And right here in America, I tell you what, I've had more phone calls recently from pastor friends and good men and women of God who are struggling in a huge way right now. It's amazing. I've had guys come into my office and say, what are you feeling? I'm just really feeling discouraged. Well, that's a work of the enemy. You understand that? Discouragement is a work of the enemy. And most of the time, what do we do when we find out that we're under these oppressive things? We say, God, free us. God, help us. But you know what God's going to tell you to do? Exercise the authority I gave you. Amen. This is not an observer sport. God is not a genie in a bottle or a puppet on a string. He does not come to entertain. He does not come to just give us our needs to give us our the things we want and to spoil us like little spoiled kids. That's not what God does. God gives you information. God will speak to your heart. God will put things on the inside of you that give you the anointing. We say God uses us. God didn't use us. God anoints us. He anoints us with His presence. He anoints us with His Word and understanding. But if you're not attempting to dig into His Word and get a deeper understanding of what you have been given in the covenant, then you're not going to be able to operate with any kind of intelligence at all in the kingdom of God. And I'm not talking about head smarts. I'm talking about experiencing things from God. Be able to experience is how to defend yourself. So many Christians being chewed up and spit out. See, the devil you out of the hands of Jesus, but Jesus said, all that come to me, by no wise I will cast out, and no one can take him out of my hand. But he's going to do everything in his power to nullify your witness. He does everything in his power to nullify what we say God has done. He does everything in his power to make us look like fools. How do you stand against that? You know, you're going to be falsely accused in here occasionally, I hope. Well, that's not fair. No, but I hope you learn how to walk up under being falsely accused without letting it stir you up. It's a part of the battle you've got to face. In the kingdom of God, you're going to be falsely accused by a lot of things. Not necessarily by those in the kingdom of God, but those looking on. And how are you going to handle that? Throw a fit? Well, that's not fair. That's not fair. The harder you scream and the louder you argue, the more guilty you look. The Bible says it this way, where there's many words, sin abounds. Woo-hoo! Yeah, but I didn't. Yeah, but I didn't. Yeah, but I didn't. Yeah, but you did somewhere, right? And here's the thing, you got to understand, you're going to learn to fight against those things, not fighting against flesh and blood. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, for though we live in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. And mighty through God. Some say in, some say through God. It's all the same. And we've got these powers to be able to pull down these strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds are excuses you make to stay the way you are. That's all they are. Well, yeah, but I didn't do that. Yeah, but you ought to see me when I was really bad. Yeah, but if you knew my dad, you know how bad. You know, you don't understand why I am the way I am. Well, if you knew what I came from, you'd know. Those are strongholds. Those are strongholds saying this. Well, because of my past and because of who I am, I'm staying the way I am. Get used to it. That's no way to grow in the kingdom of God. That's no way to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. That's no way to be victorious over what the enemy is trying to do. He'll do it through the church. He's already got the bars. He don't need to be in the bars. He comes to the church. The enemies do. Those little imps. They're going to stir you up. They're going to oppress you. They're going to bring you down. You're going to have the greatest day. Every time I have a great service, most every time, I have a great service. See, I'm looking forward to this service as I'm going to do here in this next 3 or 4 days. Because why?
Yeah.
They're going to be awesome. God's going to be there. Great things are going to happen. Yeah. Lives are going to change.
Right.
But I don't look forward to the day after. I don't look forward to the day after. The day after, I'm going to feel like I'm just going to be dragging. Not out of weariness or anything, but just oppression. You know one thing? I've learned how to fight.
Amen.
I know the weapons of my warfare. I know I don't fight in the flesh. I know I don't get mad at people. I know that's not even going to be coming close to the problem. Because you know why? I've learned how to fight.
Amen. That's right.
And I never lose. Amen. You know why I never lose? Because of the God who drives me and the God who's taught me and the God who I serve. He will never lose.
Amen.
We lose and look like fools when we don't know how to fight. God will expect you to stand on your own 2 feet. Stand there. He says, put on the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. You'll want to go along with me because if I misquote it, you need to know it. Ephesians chapter 6. After you've done all to stand, after you've done everything you can do to stand against the wiles of the enemy, what does he tell you to do? Stand therefore. Stand therefore, girded with all the armament of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on that helmet of salvation, which guards your head, your all that you know, your soul. That guards your soul. Strap on the belt of truth. Shod your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You know those shoes that the Roman soldiers wore, and that's what we're being compared to here, was the Roman soldiers' garb. They've got spikes in the bottom so that nobody can knock them off their feet. They can plant their feet and they can stand, or they can scale a mountain with traction, and they don't slip and slide. They didn't wear Air Jordans, but they they could move in them. And they were the gospel, the Bible calls it, shod your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The readiness, the understanding, the wisdom that comes from God, learning how to fight and how to stand, because God says once you've done everything to stand, stand some more. He said, stand some more. He said, and he wants you to be shod in this armament. He says, what does he say about the Spirit sword? About that, read it to me. It's in there. There you go. Take up the Spirit, which is what?
The Word of God.
You want to know why we teach you the Word of God and why we ask you to memorize the Word of God? Shoot. What you have to memorize in here is just a drop in the bucket. That's nothing. I wish we had you memorizing the whole book of Romans. I do. Because why? Therein lies the power of God into salvation and victory. And once you get that written in your heart, every time something comes against you, something rises up on the inside. What is it? The Word of God. See, Luke 10:19, he says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall harm you. Is something harming you? Hello? Is something harming you? If something is harming you, you're not battling or fighting correctly. He says, I've given you the authority. You're not exercising your authority. Authority is far better than power. If you had the power to overcome the enemy, then you could overcome all that you could overcome with the power you had. But when that power was limited or ended, you'd be overwhelmed. It's like a state highway patrolman. He's got the authority of the state behind him and the federal government behind him. That's how he can stand out in the middle of a highway and hold his hand up in a flashing red light and stop a 40, 60, 70, 80,000 pound semi moving at 70 miles an hour. They do everything in their power to get that rig squatted. Why? It's just a guy standing in the highway. Oh yeah, it's not just a guy. It's a guy that's got the authority of the entire state and the entire federal government on his side. You ever try to outrun a policeman? Did it work? It never does. It never does. You see, there's more of them than there is of you. If they don't catch you today, they'll get you tomorrow. Right? Well, so that authority that God gave us in Luke 10:19 is better than power. He's given us the authority of all of heaven. Do you realize when you mention the name of Jesus, and when you stand and shod with your armament and you're walking with God, do you realize you have all of heaven on your side?
Amen.
Do you realize there's angels waiting for you to be put them to work? Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Chapter 1 of Hebrews is all it's an argument about is Jesus higher than the angels or are the angels higher than him? And of course we know Jesus is higher than the angels. And as a matter of fact, verse 14, the last part of that verse says, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for those who are receiving salvation? Not minister to, but to minister for those who are receiving salvation. Who is receiving salvation?
Us.
We are. I hope. We are. Right? We are in the process of working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're in that process of understanding God. We're in that process of learning how to grab a hold of the Spirit sword, the Word of God, and be able to fight with it effectively and cut the head off the end.
Yes, man. Woo! Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Whew. I can preach myself happy with this stuff.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
See, we've got to understand who we are. We've got all the authority of heaven on our side because of Luke 10:19. All you need is one scripture, Luke 10:19. For I've given you the authority. Trample on snakes and scorpions. That don't mean the little bugs that crawl around on the earth. That means all of Satan's minions. I've given you authority to stomp on those enemies, he's saying. And to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Whatever he's got, you can overcome it. See, there's no reason that a Christian should be walking around long-faced and defeated. Come on!
Yes.
There are times when we are under attack, but if you understand what to do under attack, you don't have to stay there.
Amen.
You don't have to stay there. It's not, well, God's just chastising me. Well, there may be some chastisement involved in all that, but that's not God's plan to keep you down under His thumb. Mm. That's the enemy.
Yep.
The enemy's trying to make you look like a fool. The enemy's trying to make you look like somebody who has one message but lives another one. Hello? Yahoo! So he's given us authority. Authority is much better than power, is it not? Because we have all of heaven on our side. How do we utilize that? Hebrews 1:14 says we have ministering angels, ministering spirits. I think it's Psalms 34. Look at Psalms 34. I think it's 7. I think it's 7. Talks about the ministering angels hearkening to do the word of God. Is that what it says?
The angel of the Lord casts around
those
spirits and delivers them.
Oh yeah, 34:7. Look at 17. Maybe.
The righteous cry out.
Huh?
The righteous cry out, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles.
Okay, well, that's a good one too. How about Where is it? Psalm 34, angel of the Lord encamps about them. Oh, Psalms 103, verse 20. Psalms 103, verse 20. Talking about angels, look at 103, verse 20.
Bless the Lord, these angels, that excel strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord.
Bless the angels, bless the Lord. What did he say? Read it again.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength.
They got the ability to go into the places you and I can't go into. They have strength to whip the spiritual entities that's trying to battle you and set you up for a big fall. But if you don't know how to work with them, they can't do anything. Do you realize in the kingdom of God, God's not just going to come running to your rescue because he can? He can't do that because he's given you a free will. Your will is exercised or spoken out of your mouth. Your will is what you talk about is the will of your life. Why do you think we're so concerned about what you talk about? What do you think we're so concerned about those vain imaginations and those babs that go on and those silly rumors and all these things you don't know anything about and yet you talk about them like you're experts? Why do you suppose we're concerned about that? Because here's why. Everything that comes out of your mouth is eternal. And everything that comes out of your mouth is the overflow of your heart, which shows you what your will is. And there's nothing vile in the kingdom of God. God has no vileness in his will. There's no vulgarity in the kingdom of God. There's no vulgarity in his will. And it became totally quiet over all the western town. It's true, whether you like it or not. Amen or oh me, it's true. Take a deep breath. Look straight forward. Don't blink. Nobody will know it's you. It's all right. So here we got angels working for us. And one of them's raising his hand right now. Yes?
I'm so curious. You always say amen or
oh
me. What do you mean by that?
Amen or oh me. Either it's amen, an amen, which yes, I believe, or an oh me, like oh me.
Oh.
So it's either amen or oh me, brother. Either you're believing it or you're going to, oh no. I just gave you the answer to the quiz.
All right.
So we have angels. It says, 34:17, where it was, said, they encamp about those who love God and fear God. So there's angels waiting to go to work. Psalms 103:20 says that they hearken to do the word of God. Isn't that what it says? Read it again.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word.
Hearkening unto the voice of his word. Read the next verse.
Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure.
That do God's pleasure. Well, what would you think God's pleasure would be for those angels that he's got encamped around your life? To minister for you. Hello? Isn't that what Hebrews 1:14 says? Huh? See, the more memory, the more scriptures you put to heart and begin to memorize, the more the Holy Ghost has to pull together and begin to suddenly make sense. So we got Hebrews 1:14 says we've got angels that are here to minister for us. Psalms 34 says that they're here to camp about us, you know. And then Psalms 103:20 says they listen. They're leaning in. They're listening to hear the Word of God, the voice of God. How are they going to hear the Word of God, the voice of God, if you don't speak it?
Right.
Remember what I tell you? Every time God says something, speak it out loud. Why? That's when it changes you. That's when it releases the power of God on the earth to do something. So many Christians are getting all these wonderful revelations and things from God, and all they're doing is storing them in their head and keeping them as warm, fuzzy memories. Listen to me. Warm, fuzzy memories don't change your reality.
Amen.
It's when you speak what God says that changes things. And God spoke and the world became. And God spoke and Lazarus came out of the grave. And God spoke and things were healed and changed. That's why the enemy tells you to sit down and be quiet. Revere the Lord by being silent. How do revere the Lord. The Bible tells you to clap your hands, shout from the shout to the rock of your salvation, make some noise, let the enemy know you're alive.
Thank you, Lord.
So we got angels working for us if we know how to use them. How do we put an angel to work? From what I've told you so far, how do we put our angels to work? How do we do it?
We speak the word of God.
We speak the word of God. We speak what He tells us, and we speak what we know of the word of God. Every time I'm confronted with anything like discouragement or anything else, I know I have authority, and I remind my enemy and I remind my angels I have the authority of God based on Luke 10:19. Get ready, angels. We're going to work.
Right.
And I also know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment will be condemned by the Lord. And that's a gift of God.
Yeah.
You know where that is? You know where that is? Isaiah 54:17 or 57:14. You check it out. You'll like them both. That's where it is. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Why? You've been given authority. Yep. Amen.
Amen.
See there? So here we got angels waiting to go to work for us, but if they never hear the word of God come out of our mouth, or if they never hear what God is saying to you. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, that's going to be coming right from heaven, right into your heart, and you're going to have to speak it if it gets spoken at all.
Amen.
Angels of the Lord didn't camp around. You're waiting, hearkening, listening, leaning in, waiting to do God's pleasure as you speak forth God's word in faith.
Yes.
Amen. See, I also know when I'm under oppression or I'm under attack that I have the power to bind and to loose. Matthew 18... 8 or 18, somewhere in there. Matthew 18. 18, 18. Check out Matthew 18, 18. I also have the power, so do you, to bind and loose. Yep. Most Christians haven't got a clue what that means. To bind and loose, what's that mean?
Yeah, that's 18.
It means that I can bind the enemy that's trying to harm me. I can wrap something around that sucker so he can't continue to badger me and beat on me. So if I feel discouragement, guess what I'm going to be fighting? The spirit of... Come on. If I'm feeling discouragement, I'm battling against the spirit of...
Discouragement.
Oh, you guys are smart. Right on, right on.
Bind them up.
So I say, you know, I say, okay, angels, we're getting ready to go to war here. I've got the authority based on Luke 10:19, and I know no weapon formed against me can prosper in Jesus' name. Isaiah 54:17. So therefore I bind... I bind you, spirit of... What was the problem?
Discouragement.
Discouragement. I bind you, spirit of discouragement, in Jesus' name. Yes, sir?
18,
what? Matthew 18 something.
18:18.
18:18.
I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven.
That's what I said. That's what I said.
Amen.
You have the power to... You have the power to bind and loose. What does that mean? Well, you just try to pester me a little bit, and I'll get somebody in here to bind you. I'll get old Joe Massey to bind you up. He'll throw his arms around you and pop your head like a zit.
That's right.
Huh? And you're gonna be standing like this.
Pop that zit,
baby.
That's right.
So you see, warfare is very real. Spirits are very real. They're going to come and they're going to pester you and they're going to badger you. The one scripture I like most of all, that I use most of all, is in Luke chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, if you submit to God and resist the devil, he flees. So that's what I like to do. I like to say, I got authority over you, you little imp. And this is the last word you're going to hear from me. I bind you in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, as soon as I turn to God, He's trying to... I can see Him running out of time. Well, He tries to get away, make a little dust trail, you know, a little poor little thing. Just, oh, jeez. Poor excuse of life. Anybody that fights against God's poor excuse of life, right?
Hallelujah.
They're dead. They don't have no life. So you see, you got to learn how to fight. You got to learn some scripture. You got to know that there's some things going for you. And as you speak forth the word that comes into your mouth, man, angels, if it takes an angel to go into the spiritual world to do something, you got it right there. He's fighting for you. If it takes him to deal with... See, think about this. God heals relationships, does he not? And so when you pray for your family and for the broken relationships and the struggles you're having, who do you suppose goes to minister to the person? The Holy Ghost and ministering angels. If there's something you're standing, you're saying, okay, I stand in agreement. You know, anybody here got a family? Everybody raise your hands, got a family. Oh, you all do. Praise God. That's good. That's good. You have authority over your family. You have a spiritual authority God's given you, especially if it's a wife type family. You're the spiritual head. You got spiritual authority over her. And you can guard and protect her better. You can guard and I told you this. You can guard and protect her better from here than you ever did there. Because your physical presence isn't all that. And you're okay. But to the spirit world, you're no challenge. Neither am I. Neither is Joe Messi. For none of us are, right? But it's just not you he's dealing with. Remember what covenant's all about? Yeah. Covenant says, I make two parties one. Who's he made one? You and God are one. And everything God has is now available to you. Everything God has is available to me. And so God has all these angels and God has all this provision sitting there waiting for us. And you can say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I take my authority over my family. Luke 10:19, see? I take my authority over my family and everything that bothers my family. And God, I come against every spirit, every dark spirit, every form of evil, any plan laid against my family, Lord, I declare, Isaiah 54:17, stops that cold in Jesus' name. See, you're speaking God's word, and what's angels doing? They're going out there to destroy the plans of the enemy, any kind of evil. But you got to take that authority, you got to take it, you got to speak it. That's why we don't just think to God. We speak to God. Why? Your spoken word is what changes things. Most people's lives change immensely when you just teach them to quit thinking and start speaking. Whew. You have authority to battle and to win. But you got to learn how to use it. I've given you authority. You have the power to bind and loose. What else you got? Ministering angels waiting, just listening for you to speak His word so that they can go to work. I can just see a lot of ministering angels that Christians have are just kind of a waste of manpower. They're just sitting there probably whistling and looking for something to do. Hey, Father, can I go join Larry Lowe's forces today? He keeps them busy, but this guy is... And Father will say, no, He loves me. You camp around Him. But, no, okay. See, we got to put them to work, guys. Don't let them just sit idly by. They'll get bored. Nothing worse than a bored, fat, fat lazy angel. You got to keep them fit and strong, right?
Yes.
You got families, you got loved ones, you got people that you want to pray for their protection. God, I stand in agreement with you, Lord, that you're a healer. You're a healer. Not only of my physical body and my mind and my soul, but God, you're a healer of my family relationships. God, you know how I destroyed them. You know how I acted. You know what I did. God, I repent. I ask you to forgive me. But Lord, I stand in belief that you're a healer. What's angels doing about now? They're out there working. They're whispering in ears. Joe ain't all that bad. Or he's not that bad. Or she's not that bad. Or, you know? And all of a sudden, minds begin to change. We've seen relationships just suddenly change. It's not just a coincidence. Well, I came between challenge and everything changed. Why did they change? Because somebody knows how to affect the spirit world. Amen. That's what prayer is all about, guys. These are the things that's happening when you are praying and talking to God. What happens if you come in here and just bow down and say? The answer to that is, I'm not sure. Probably not much. But I do know what happens when you come in here and bow down and you begin to cry out to God, Lord, God, I need you. I need you. God, I need more of you. God, I want you. God, I need you to protect my family. God, I'm not there, but I want to be there. But Lord, you're there. Would you protect my family? I bind the powers of darkness that come against them, Lord. Lord, I loose the power of God on my family. I loose the healing power of God on my wife and my children in Jesus' name. On my mother, my father, my grandparents, God, I pray forgiveness into their life, God, that they may have mercy on my soul and forgive me for their sake. See, that's how you pray. That's how you battle against those things that are going to destroy you if you don't pray. And you speak it. This ought to be the noisiest room in the whole building. And I don't mean chit-chat like it was before chapel began, but I mean this ought to be the noisiest place in town where we're not just vacuum sweepers in here. I mean people in here interceding and praying and seeking the face of Almighty God. Yeah. Whew. You got to learn how to fight. What else have I got? What else do I need? Victory is ours in Jesus' name. Not because we sing, victory is mine. That's not why. We sing that because it is. We are victorious. But we sing it with more joy if we really had the victory. I'm free to run, free to dance, free to do all these things. Well, we would really be running, singing, and dancing if we were really free. I think sometimes we think we can sing our way to victory. Once you pray your way to victory, once you talk to God, once you fight, not each other. You got somebody in here bugging you? First person you ought to be concerned about is you. Why does it bug you? Amen. So that's what you ought to be talking to God about. God, what is it in me? Lord, what is it in me? What is it in me that they trigger, that causes me to feel what I feel? God, what is it? Where's it coming from? Please help me. God goes to work. Holy Spirit begins to show you things. And when the Holy Spirit shows you things, then we say, I bind you, devil, from showing me all these things. I don't want to see those things. They hurt. No, it's God. That's God. That's God. You ask Him, He'll show you. See? Remember who's working for you and who's working against you. God shows you things that might for a second because he who is willing to be suffering in the flesh has been freed from sin. 1 Peter 4:1. And that's called submitting yourself to God. Your body to God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Romans 12:1 and 12:2. Be not conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what's happening when you talk to God. He's renewing your mind. He's dispatching His angels. Things are happening in the spirit realm for you who pray. For you who put that armor of God on every morning. God, I put the helmet of salvation on my little old head up here. I put my feet into these mighty boots shod with readiness, the gospel of peace. I put the breastplate of righteousness on. I'm the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I put the belt of truth on. I pick up the Spirit sword, which is the Word of God. Right? Then I have the shield of faith. Na-na-na-na, you can't touch him. See? If you got faith to put out the fiery darts of the enemy, he can't touch you.
Amen.
But you got to learn how to fight. Those scriptures I told you, hope you all wrote them all down because you need to be memorizing them. Because they've saved my bacon more than once. They've come in real handy. Sometimes I have to minister and I don't feel like ministering and I feel discouraged or I feel down or I feel oppressed for whatever the reason. And before I move into that arena of ministry, me and the Lord and my angels do a little warfare. Ain't no slimy little defeated imp going to slow me down and stop my ministry. Shouldn't slow you down and stop yours either. Discouragement, fear. When I used to get up and preach, I would bind the spirit of offense over all the audience. I bind the spirit because sometimes things I say might offend. Not because I intend them to offend, but somebody's receiving them through pain and it'll offend So I bind that spirit of offense. He can't work in the audience. See, it's very real, guys. Very real. Learn to fight. Learn to stand your ground. Learn what your weapons are. Learn who your allies are. You'll never be defeated. Amen. Never. You'll never be defeated. Say never.
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 Never. Father, thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are an awesome God. That you have all the bases covered. That you have everything we need in this document called the Scriptures, the Bible. Everything we have need of to live a successful life on this earth, connected to you, prospering in the things of God and prospering on earth as well. We have everything we need in you, Lord, to be leaders of men, challengers of the enemy. Thank you, Father, for entrusting us with the true riches of the kingdom of God. Thank you for that. And now, Holy Spirit, I ask in Jesus' name that you would work on these scriptures that have been implanted in their minds this morning and allow the scriptures to grow, to produce a crop of righteousness and a crop of victory, that Jesus might be exalted even higher and the Father might be praised even more. I ask it in Jesus' name, Lord, and I thank you and praise you for all that you've done and are doing even now. Everybody who believes said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Gloria a Dios. Hallelujah. Luke 10:19. Praise the Lord.
There's one you said was your favorite. I got 10:19 here, but then you said Luke 4 something.
Luke what?